Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
I'm going to be back in the book of James tonight, chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading with verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. And as you find your place, I just have a few opening words I would like to share with you. As we went through and began chapter 1, we looked at and went straight in. James took us straight into temptation. And as he took us into temptation and as he walked us through temptation, he also brought us up to the point that we were at last week of the good and perfect gifts of God and how those good and perfect gifts of God work everything out to His glory in our lives. So that brings us up to the passage tonight and the very first word in the passage, wherefore. Verse 19 begins with wherefore. Wherefore and therefore are two very important words in your Bible. Wherefore gives you a purpose. What you are about to read, the purpose of it preceded what you're getting ready to read. So what we have looked at now through James chapter 1 verse 1 through verse 18 actually rolls right into verse 19, and what 19 through 25 is going to tell us tonight is a follow-up or conditions that go with what we've already heard. That's the beauty of going through a book of the Bible from the first verse to the last verse. You get the flow and the context of everything that is being written in that letter or in that gospel or in the parable or whatever it may be. As we are going through this verse by verse, we get the big picture of what James is saying. So let's pick up with verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, there's that word again, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a looking glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. One thing that I really like about James is really straightforward with everything he says. He is not a politically correct person. Now, as I said earlier when we started this, it is believed that this epistle, the epistle of James, was the first book written in the New Testament. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus. This is not James, the apostle that was written about in the Gospels. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus. And James was not saved until after Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven. As a matter of fact, James never really did believe that Jesus was who he said he was. James believed that he had a brother who was just a little bit out there. And he never would come to faith in Christ until after the resurrection and the ascension. But James, because of all of that, because of the personality of who James was, James is very straightforward in what he says. And I like that about him. Because it is a very practical book. And it is some very practical instructions from God concerning how we can live our lives and live them successfully. So tonight I want to open with talking about two words that sound alike, but when they are understood, they are very different. The two words are describe and prescribe. When we describe something, we are explaining what has taken place or what has happened or what will be happening. We are making an explanation. Descriptions are found throughout God's Word. I'll give you an example. Remember when Balaam talks to the donkey? Or the donkey talks to Balaam? Numbers 28, verses 22 through 30. We read about that. And we read about God talking to Balaam through the donkey and Balaam talking back to the donkey. Well, do you think that God wants you and I to go out and talk to donkeys? No. The Bible wasn't prescribing anything in that. The Bible was describing what was taking place. And the Bible has those things in life. Life today has descriptions. God has things coming into our life that describe circumstances and situations. But then also, the next word is prescribe. And when I hear that word, I think about a prescription that is given by a physician. The physician will tell us to take this medicine and follow these instructions to feel better. God's Word is full of prescriptions as well. The Ten Commandments are prescribed for you and I. They are prescribed to help us realize when we have sinned against God. If we follow them and as we follow them, we're okay. But if we don't, we have sinned. And more often than not, we find ourselves sinning because we cannot follow God's prescribed way of doing things. That is where we find ourselves in James tonight. How do we know when we're being obedient? How do we know when we are following God's prescribed way of doing things? It isn't a subjective answer. Actually, it's very objective. I have three things out of the passage tonight I want to show you. And as time is moving away from us, I want to go ahead and begin so we can move into the text of the message. We have to realize that when we are on a journey of obedience, and of being obedient to God is a journey, we can have a desire in our heart to be obedient to God. We can have all of the intentions. We can have all of the want to that we can muster in our life. But it is a daily journey. And when we go to bed, here later in the evening, we can look back on this day and we can find points where we have failed to be obedient to God. And we can find points where we have succeeded in being obedient to God. So what do we do? Naturally, that should flow in your heart and in my heart to say, okay, where I failed today, I realize I got to work on that tomorrow. Along with whatever life throws at me. Then, and what God puts in front of me, then I have to work on being obedient there. So we're on a journey. So how do we handle that journey? Well, first, we need to receive the Word of God humbly. In verses 19 through 21, we see that, my beloved brethren, three things. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Swift to hear. I heard a preacher say it like this one time. God gave us two ears to listen with and one tongue to talk with. He wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. Too often that doesn't get done. Actually, I think it's just the opposite more times than not. We wind up talking before we hear, and before we listen, and before we think, and before we know it, we are allowing our very words to lead us into anger. Well, if we receive the Word of God humbly, we're not going to have to worry about this. Why? Because we're going to realize first that we have to listen with intention. That means when we read the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, whatever we're doing around the Word of God, if we are humbly coming to it and we are sincerely asking God to speak to us, we are going to approach the Word of God intentionally wanting it to speak to our heart, intentionally wanting God to open the door of our heart, pour His Word into it, so that we can learn. That's the Word of God is all about learning. It is all about realizing the difference between describing and prescribing. When we are intentionally listening to God's Word, either He is going to be describing to us an example of something through His Word, or He is going to be prescribing to us some directive in what to do or what not to do in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So there is intention that is involved with hearing and listening to the Word of God. And then to receive the Word of God humbly, we have to speak with intention. Now that is where we usually wind up getting into some hot water, because we don't think about what we're going to say. When we talk about speaking with intention, it is thinking about what you're going to say before you're going to say it and asking God, is this what you want me to say about this? How often do we reflect upon God's Word before we answer and say anything? And how often do we ask God, is this what you want me to say? Intentionally speaking. If we are going to receive the Word humbly, we're going to have to listen to it intentionally, and we're going to have to speak it intentionally. And if we do that, we're going to do the third thing, which is we're going to control our emotion, which is wrath. Isn't anger an emotion? It is an emotion that will get us into some very hot water if we're not careful. It is an emotion that will take us farther than we want to go. It is an emotion that will get us into things deeper than we ever wanted to get into. Emotion. Uncontrolled emotion puts us into a lot of bad situations and a lot of bad circumstances. I know a lot of people that'll say, oh, no, preacher. I live by my emotions. And if you look at those people who do that, their life is a wreck. They're emotionally a wreck. They have no direction. They have no focus. They have no intentions of what they're listening to or no intentions of what they're going to be speaking or saying. They may attend church every time a door is open. They may give sacrificially to anything that they can give. They may have morals. And they may have ethics. And they may have a love for people, but their emotion is controlling them and their lives are out of control. James is telling us in verses 19 through 21 that we have to be in control of our life. Why? Because without that, without submission to God for control of our life, there is no righteousness. Either God is in control and directing our life humbly through His Word, or there is no righteousness in our life. And I think we all, deep down inside, I think every born-again Christian wants to live a righteous life. I really do. But I think we struggle. I think what happens is we want to live a righteous life based upon our perception of things. We want our personal opinions, our perceptions, our thoughts, our ideas. We want all of those things to come into play with it. And it can't. It can't. We have to receive the Word of God humbly and let it be in control of our lives. Otherwise, we are going to be living an unrighteous life. And we have nothing to look forward to then except chastisement from God. And if you've never experienced that, you don't want to experience it. I have. I can tell you from experience, you do not want to deal with chastisement. There's no fun. If we can't do those three things, then God cannot speak to us through any media or through any means. If we can't listen with intention, speak with intention, and allow God's words to control our emotions, where we are being a vessel of righteousness, God can't speak to us. The words, the printed words of the Bible, will be nothing but literary words. It'll be nothing but a literary composition, like Gone with the Wind or something of that nature. But it won't be speaking to our heart. And that's what God wants. He wants to speak to you. He wants to make a difference in your life. You are His child. Well, not only are we to receive the word humbly in verses 22 through 25, we also see that we need to remember the word constantly. God, to hear God's words is great. It is a blessing. It is something that ought to touch us. But we should hear them to fulfill them, to live them. When you open your Bible, and I am saying that, supposing that you open your Bible and that you read it outside of church time. But whether it is inside of a church service, or whether it is at home in your personal devotion time, whether you're listening to it in your CD player or your MP3 going to work and back or throughout town, are you listening to God's Word to fulfill it in your life? Are you listening to God's Word so that it will make a difference in your life, so that you can fulfill it, so that you can walk closer with God, and so that you can be the vessel that He wants to use to lead other people to Jesus Christ? Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Being a hearer of the Word and only a hearer of the Word is just you deceiving yourself. Well, I have went to church. I have listened to the preacher. He has read the Bible. I followed it. I stayed awake through it. I was there through the whole thing. And I have heard the Word, so I am good for another week. No, you're not. You're deceiving yourself. That's not my opinion. That came straight from God's Word. Being a doer, putting it to work in our life, asking God to show me, asking God to put it to work in my life so that I can carry it home with me, so that I can carry it to work with me, so that I can be a living example of what Christ can do in a person's life, so that I don't deceive myself. And notice something about that. It specifically says deceiving your own selves. It is not the devil that is doing it to you. If we are not hearing God's Word so that we can put it to work and be a doer of it, we are allowing ourselves to be deceived by ourselves, thinking that we are something that we are not. And then we move on and we see the illustration of a mirror. To look into a mirror Every morning, when I get up, I'll get in the shower, I'll get out of the shower, I'll get ready, clean up. The last thing I will do before I walk out of the house is I will go back to the bathroom, and I've got a full-length mirror on the inside of the bathroom door. I'll open it, I'll take a hairbrush, and I'll comb my hair. I will part it, I'll get it over, I'll get it set just right, and then I'll turn around and I'll walk away. I will go get in the car, I'll start driving to work, and you know what? Just as soon as I hit the car and get set down, I have forgotten about everything I looked at in that mirror because I went there with one purpose and only one purpose in mind, and that is to do one particular thing. I got that done, I was content with it, I moved on. That's exactly what James is telling us spiritually right here, and he's telling us not to do that spiritually. Not to go into God's Word with the presupposition of looking for one thing or satisfying one thing in our lives. For if anyone be a hearer and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. When we look into God's Word, we should see the person that was saved. We should see the sinner that was redeemed. We should always be able to do that in our life. We should always be able to look back through God's Word and see me as a lost sinner. Too often today I hear people talking about, well, this old sinner up the road, he's as lost as he can be. This one down the road, he's as lost as he can be. And you know, I don't doubt that. I don't know the people. But if someone says that by experience, by saying that they know that they're lost, fine, they know that they're lost. But it isn't our place to point out their faults and their failures. Are we as worried about bringing Jesus into their lives and seeing them saved as we are pointing out how lost they really are? If we look into God's Word and we see ourselves and who we were and the lost condition that we were, the lost person that we were, and we realize what God has done in our life, and the miracle that He has brought into our life by redemption and by salvation, then we can realize what can happen in others' lives as well. And we can be obedient to God's Word, daily growing to be that witness, daily growing to have that testimony that points others to Jesus. Lastly, I want to go back to verse 22. And if we're going to go through the journey of obedience, we're going to have to obey the Word wholeheartedly. James reminds us to seek a wholehearted obedience through description and prescription both. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Wholeheartedly. We don't have time to be half-hearted Christians. We don't have time to be cold and callous. We don't have time to be worrying about insignificant things in life. God wants a wholehearted, obedient Christian stepping out and doing His work. God wants a wholehearted, obedient Christian seeking humbly His Word and seeking that Word constantly. God wants you and I living for Him according to His Word. And that should be a desire, not an obligation. Loving God should not be an obligation. If we are saved tonight and we are blood bought by the blood of Christ, we should have a desire to love God hour by hour, minute by minute. We should also have a desire to love the lost, to love the fellow church members, to to love everyone that's in our lives. We may not agree with them. We may not necessarily be able to trust them, but we have to love them so that God can work in our life and so that God can work in their lives and so that people can be saved. We obey the Word wholeheartedly. Obedience. Obedience that is described. Obedience that is prescribed. Obedience to God's Word isn't something that we adhere to and then it's over with. It's not something that we meet today and then don't worry about it tomorrow. It's something that we meet today, that we strive for today, and then we build upon it tomorrow. And then we build upon that the next day and the next day. We ought to seek obedience daily with the desire of being fully aligned with God's purpose for our life. And God's got a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for it. He has a purpose to share His Word, to share the testimony of your salvation. He has a purpose for your work, for His work through your life. That purpose comes in obedience. Comes in obedience. If we're going to be the influence in our world, the influence that God has called us to be, the only way we're going to reach it is through obedience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the Word that You have given. Thank You for the privilege You have given me to share it. Lord, I pray that it does not return to You void, but I pray that it accomplishes everything that You have purposed it to do. Please grant traveling grace as we return back to our families tonight. And dear Lord God, help those that aren't with us tonight for whatever that reason may be. I pray that You'll touch hearts and lives. I pray that churches all over this county will be filled. I pray that souls will be saved. I pray that those souls will be baptized. Dear God, I pray that You will have Your will and Your way and Your work in the hearts and lives of the people of this county. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.